Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And this hour, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, our guest. And we're going to talk about, are you ready for marriage? And marriage has become so fraught for so many people. There's a lot that goes into the conversation in the Catholic world, of course, because we know that there are far, far more annulled marriages than we would like. Not to say that in any way to be mean to anybody, just to say it in the terms of we would like, of course, lasting marriages. And that seems, of course, it's much more difficult than it has been. And so this hour, are you ready for marriage? And if the answer is no, I'm sure that we will get lots of help from Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers on how to be ready for marriage. You're very welcome to call 888-318-7884. You want to talk about raising kids who are ready for marriage? You want to ask your own questions about what it would take to be ready for marriage, what the church has to say about that? 888-318-7884. And also, if you're a mama or a papa and you want to ask about the adult kids and how you can help them have confidence that they can do it, for one thing, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Before we get to Deacon Harold, I did want to have a nice little conversation with Edgar Lujano, who is killing it developing Spanish content. And I just wanted to say congratulations on that and let you pitch it again, because
thank you.
It's growing like crazy.
Yeah, one of the biggest compliments I had was they're calling me the Spanish-speaking Cy Kellett.
Nobody is saying that. Nobody would hurt your feelings like that.
I did have one comment that said that I'm the Spanish-speaking Cy Kellett, so I appreciate
really?
That. Yeah.
That was me.
That was you. Yeah. So, yeah, Respuestas Católicas is growing significantly. With the second live stream that we just did this past week with William Albrecht, with a name like Albrecht, you wouldn't think he speaks Spanish.
Oh, right.
But he does. He's incredible with different languages. I was surprised how many languages he knows. But it's been growing significantly. The way God is working through all of this is mind-blowing. It's shocking me how quickly all this is moving. When I started this back in November of last year, I never thought that it was going to grow this much. For me, it was, I just want to make videos in Spanish just to start getting some of our content out there. And here we are less than a year later, and it's looking like plans are really, really starting to grow. So if you want to check out our content, you just go to YouTube, type in Respuestas Católicas. Respuestas Católicas, or I don't know if you've mentioned this side, but now we have our entire website in Spanish. All the written content, decades of work, is now all available in Spanish thanks to the wonderful work of our IT department.
So could you go to Respuestas Católicas and get everything that Catholic Answers has?
So all the written content. So if you go to RespuestasCatolicas.com, it'll take you to the Spanish version of Catholic.com. And it'll have all the written content. Again, it's still all in the works of translating everything, including videos and audio. So it's all the written content that's available. So things that were written, 10, 20, 30 years ago, that's on the website, you can actually find that in Spanish now. So I had mentioned early on when I first started this, I was interviewed by a gentleman out of Venezuela, and he said the way he got to know apologetics was he would go into our website, copy it, and paste it into Google Translate. Well, now he doesn't have to do that. Now it's all available in Spanish for him and for many others.
How wonderful. Respuestas Católicas. What does that mean, Respuestas Católicas? It sounds so fancy.
Doesn't it?
What could that possibly mean?
It means Catholic Answers.
En español.
En español.
Edgar, thanks. And congratulations. It really is cool to see how it's taken off.
Thanks.
And I do think I'm glad to hear you, give credit to the Holy Spirit and God's movement and all that. But I think he his primary work in that was to bring you here, and it's just been a real gift. And, you know, as much as you and I were constantly at each other's throats and we don't really enjoy each other's company, I really admire your work. Why are you looking at me like it's true?
Because now there's a greater competition of who's the better host, just throwing that out there.
It's not a competition. It's not a competition. We do all these things for the Lord. You do them second best. 888-318-7884 is our number. Thanks. Thanks very much. We're going to talk about marriage this hour with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You can hear him each weekday on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. On the Beacon of Truth, his relatively new program. I wanted to say new program, but it's been on for months now. And check it out each day. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, thank you very much for being here with us.
Oh, it's always great to be here back on Catholic Answers and with you, Cy. Always a pleasure.
Oh, look at that. I appreciate you singling me out. You know how important that is to me, Deacon. 888-318-7884 is the number. So let me ask you this, because you suggested this topic to us. What is it? Why marriage? Why do you want to talk about marriage? Is this kind of where the rubber meets the road as far as people, I suppose, living out the faith and coming to the fullness of life that Jesus wants for them?
Yeah, so exactly. And, you know, there's a couple of reasons why I want to talk about this. One is because my wife and I celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary back on August 13th.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
I think
you.
I know where and you second, went, too. I think you were on wheels, weren't you?
That's right. We're on train wheels.
Yeah, across Canada.
Across Canada, which was fantastic. Second, I just finished doing a marriage retreat for the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston. And so fresh off of that, coming back this past weekend. Next, this is wedding season. A lot of people get married during this time of year, especially here in the Northwest, because there's very, very little chance of rain during this time of year. So there's lots of weddings that are happening now. And then also the statistics are showing that marriages are actually going down. Like the number of people getting married is decreasing. You know, and we're already in a population issue, a demographic issue when it comes to population. We're below replacement rate, you know, so all of these things I think are important. And then, of course, we're talking about the culture today redefining marriage, you know, trying to redefine what marriage is. And so I want to talk about are you ready for marriage? You know, particularly those folks who are engaged, that are going to, you know, make that step into the sacrament of matrimony. Are you ready, you know, for marriage? And that's what I want to talk about.
Well, as a deacon, as a person who's been doing this for a long time, people must say to you, I don't know. How am I going to know when I'm ready? So what do you say to them when they say that to you?
Yeah, see, the thing is, everybody wants to be 100% sure before they do something. It's just a natural human instinct to be sure, to be set, to be comfortable, to control things, because there's so many things in life you can't control. You know, like I travel a lot and I can't control if my flight's late or if there's a mechanical issue, if there's a weather issue. So there's many other aspects of my life that I do try to control, right?
Yeah.
But ultimately, God is the one that's in charge. So when you're making this decision to enter into this sacrament of matrimony, you're saying that I believe with all my heart, mind, and soul, prayerful discernment, getting to know the other person deeply and personally, being able to see them the way God sees them, the way God looks at them, is this the person that the Lord has put in my life to help me get to heaven? That's the key to the discernment right there. Not, are we compatible? Do we finish these other sentences? You know, that kind of thing. No, it has to be much deeper than that, because relationship and intimacy with Christ has to be the heart and the soul and the center of that marriage relationship.
The number is 888-318-7884. Are you ready for marriage? How do you know if you're ready for marriage? Want to talk about being ready for marriage? Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest this hour. Your calls welcome. The lines will fill up pretty quickly, because they do when Deacon Harold is here. Dial that phone, 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live. Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit MysticMonkCoffee.com. That's MysticMonkCoffee.com.
EWTN is everywhere. EWTN radio programming is provided free of charge to over 500 domestic and international AM and FM radio stations. It's a great teaching tool for Catholics and non-Catholics alike. For a complete list of EWTN AM and FM stations across America, visit EWTNradio.net. At the bottom of the page, click Affiliates. EWTN is the global Catholic network.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is here. I was thinking, you know, you better be careful. You talked about redefining marriage, and you are just never going to get back into the nation of Australia, man, if you're not careful. You know how sensitive they are about that down there.
Well, the thing is, so hold on.
Yeah.
They should not be upset, because what is marriage? What does the word actually mean, and why are they trying to redefine it? The word marriage comes from the word matrimony. In fact, the catechism, when it groups the sacraments, when it talks about the sacraments at the service of communion, it's holy orders and the sacrament of matrimony. It doesn't use the word marriage. It uses the word matrimony. Matrimonium in Latin. Matri is a derivative of the word mater, which means mother. And monium is a suffix ending, which means the state or condition of something. So literally, matrimony means the state or condition of motherhood, right? Oh. And so if you want to redefine marriage, you have to literally change what those words mean. What it comes down to is that in the garden, you remember the lie of Satan, you will be like God. And that's what this culture is saying. There's no God. I'm God. I determine what words mean. I determine what marriage is. I determine what gender is. I. It's the trinity of me, myself, and I. And it's self-centered. It's and that kind of relationship implodes on itself. You know, it's not a love that goes out like the Divine Mercy image. Those rays are coming forth from the heart of Jesus into the world. The culture is all about me, you know, and it's always pointing to myself. And that is not marriage. That is not our faith.
The number is 888-318-7884. Lots of folks need help overcoming obstacles to marriage, overcoming uncertainties, fears, anxieties, and some practical problems, like how do you even meet people nowadays in this world? Yeah. If you've got questions about being ready for marriage, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is here, 888-318-7884. Christina is in North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Christina, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate it. This is a wonderful topic because I have questions myself.
All right, good.
We have three adult children. Our oldest is 22, never dated at all. And I think he's like just really scared to go out there and meet people. I think with just the way our culture is right now, it makes him really nervous. And I even don't really know how our young people are supposed to meet others, because they don't do events and things like we used to do, you know, when we were younger. And everything is like online and social media. And I don't know. I'm just wondering how can I even help him, you know, all of our kids, just like get yourself out there. I don't know.
You are not alone in that question as a mother. Deacon Harold?
Yeah, so a couple things. One of the things you want to identify with your son, does he have some kind of social anxiety disorder? So is he just shy, or is there something that he really doesn't want to get out there and meet people? Because he's every time he does it, it makes him anxious. So have you discerned that yet, Christine? I want to bring that up first. before I answer your question.
Yeah, I don't know that he has like an anxiety about it. I think he's just so like, I think he's really nervous about offending women. You know, this culture is just so negative towards young men, and I think that's part of it. My other son is not as scared to do those things, which is funny because he actually has autism. So I think he would be more nervous, but he doesn't seem to mind too much. But nothing is really solidifying for any of them. You know, I think it's a little scary as a mom.
You know, one of the best things that he can do is really understand what it means to truly be a young man, you know, to serve, protect, and defend, to really build up those virtues in his life so that when he goes out there, you know, maybe there'll be a young woman that's interested in him because he's not like everybody else that's out there. That's the problem. Young women have problems meeting men because the bar by the culture is set so low. For example, Christine, I took all my daughters on their first dates, were with me. All three of them went on dates with me because I wanted to show them how they're supposed to be treated by a real man. So I set the bar very, very high. That's where the bar starts, and it goes up from there. So it doesn't start at the bottom. No, it starts up at the top and goes up from there. So I want to be a witness and example to them of what the kind of man that they want to that's going to take them to heaven, they're going to spend the rest of their life with. And people ask me, are your kids married yet? Nope, because they're still looking for that guy, right, that's going to take them to heaven. So it takes time. And what we're seeing, the trend is a lot of young people are getting married later, you know, in their later 20s or maybe even early 30s, where maybe, you know, because it is difficult for young people to meet because you got Tinder and you got all these crazy dating, maybe even Catholic Match or Catholic, Catholic meeting space or whatever, these dating services, you know, a lot of young Catholics are using that, you know, because before you used to meet someone at church, right? Or you met someone at a social. But because people are also having less kids now, less children, those kinds of meetings are few and far between. So I would have him go to a couple of things. First of all, go to adoration and pray. I met a young man in Singapore who was praying for his future wife in adoration. You know, so I would have him go to say, Lord, you know, if I'm called to this vocation of matrimony, you know, please put it on my heart and bring someone into my life that at least I can consider entering into this union with. The other thing is I would go, there was a couple of people that are friends of mine that are, I consider very, very good in this area. One of them is Monet Souza, M-O-N-E-T-S-O-U-Z-A, Monet Souza, who has a YouTube channel where she talks about single and dating. She's very, very good. And the other one is Anastasia Northrup. Anastasia runs kind of a Catholic singles, National Catholic Singles Organization, and she organizes conferences all over the country. She's excellent. So both of those would be great resources to learn more about, because I've been married for 30 years. So I haven't dated for 36 years, I haven't dated. So, but these young people, they're on the pulse of what's going on in our culture. So I'd highly recommend resources by those two women as well.
Christina, I'm going to leave it there. I hope that was helpful to you. I know you are certainly not alone. It's just even for people who came of age, you know, I don't know, maybe they got married at the beginning of this millennium, just 24 years ago. And, you know, for me, it was 20 years before that. But everything's changed in a short time. So, you know, it's nothing is as it was. So it's hard for a parent to help a child because it's not like you can go, well, you know, go to the dance down at the parish. There's no dance at the parish. It's not happening anymore. Like, that's just not how the world works. So I do think parents just sit and worry.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it. And plus with the advent of social media, Now, that's where a lot of young people communicate. And so they're also lacking some of the social skills that are necessary to read body language, to look someone in the eye when you're talking to them, right? To be able to share deeply, because they're sharing so many things that are on a surface level with social media, that you never get a chance to really experience what it's like to share something from your heart. So I think all those factors play into this.
Christina, thanks very much for the call. Going to France now. Martin is in France. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest. We're talking about being prepared for marriage. If you have questions in that regard, whether for yourself or for someone else, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Martin, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold.
Hello. Thank you. Very good evening. Thank you very much for taking my call, Father Deacon. One of my greatest apprehensions about prospective marriage is that nowadays, unfortunately, artificial contraception is so prevalent. And what if I fail to convince my potential future wife or fiancé not to engage in artificial contraception during marriage? Is that an impediment to marriage in the first place, or how shall one proceed in this case?
Wow, that's a great question. And you know, I remember when I was studying this in graduate school, this was actually kind of a debate. So for example, during the marriage ceremony, you take a vow, right? To be, will you accept children lovingly from God? Right. And so the thing is, if you use contraception, are you actually doing that? Or does the act itself, you know, engaging in the act itself? And I think it has to do with intent. You know, entering into marriage with a contraceptive mentality, you have to leave it up to canon lawyers to figure out whether it's an impediment or not. But I think it could be, if you are making a vow and then not fulfilling that with what you're saying with your body, because you're saying I'm giving you totally and completely myself except for this part of myself. I'm holding this back from you. Christ didn't hold back anything of his love for us from the cross. He gave everything. And we have to, if we are to be his disciples, we have to pick up our cross and follow him. So that doesn't mean we have to, you know, have a gazillion children. The church doesn't teach that. The church doesn't dictate to parents how many children that they're supposed to have. But we have to be open to the possibility of having children. So I would recommend if your fiance or future fiance to really understand what natural family planning is about. Really is the most effective, even more than pills or prophylactics or anything like that. Natural family planning is extremely effective. In fact, back in the, it would have been 93, the Indian government tried to keep their population down, so they were handing out condoms all over the place. And Mother Teresa said, no, let's do natural family planning. So the British Journal of Medicine got really interested, you know, in this kind of David and Goliath, you know, Mother Teresa versus the state of India. And they did a study to show which was more effective, the use of the prophylactics or Mother Teresa. And you can see this for yourself. And I can find out for you the exact issue that it's in, but the British Journal of Medicine, in fact, when the study came out, they didn't publish it. They went back and got it peer reviewed, and then they published it. I think it's September 1993. Issue of the British Journal of Medicine showed that the failure rate for the condoms look at the mentality, right? Failure means get pregnant, right? That's failure in our culture today. It was 7%, okay? 7%. Mother Teresa with natural family planning, 0.01%. That's called a virtual zero result. Not even close. All right. So natural family planning is effective. In fact, when I do marriage prep in my parish, we often have what we call mixed marriages, right? So we have a Catholic marrying a non-Catholic, in some cases, even a non-Christian. And when we get to this issue, it's very interesting because, you know, out here in the Pacific Northwest, they're very interested in natural this and farm to table and organic. Yeah. And so when they hear about natural family planning, they're very interested. They say, well, wait a minute. No, that can't be true. I said, no, do your own research. And when we come back next week, let's talk about it. And sure enough, they go and do their own research. They come back and say, how come more people don't know about this? And their soul is the Catholic person that has the hard time accepting it. That's crazy. But that's the reality. Learn more about how that works. Because it is truly an effective means of following the church's teaching and the regulation of children in a marriage.
Does that help you, Martin?
Yes, I'm purely convinced all about natural family planning. I'm fully convinced it was just that, you know, in our culture, it is often frowned upon, and there are stereotypes, there's prejudice about it.
Right.
But
yes.
Okay, great. Thank you for the resources and for the statistics. That's very impressive.
Well, Martin, I only have 15 seconds with you, but I don't know anything about France. Is this something that's widespread in France, or would it be very, very hard
absolutely
to find?
Absolutely not.
No,
absolutely not. It's considered ridiculously archaic.
Oh, isn't that crazy that
wow.
It's considered ridiculous? Yeah.
Wow.
Whereas pumping people full of chemicals from a young age is not considered ridiculous.
See? There you go. That's it.
Martin, what a great pleasure to talk with you. We're going to take a quick break. The number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Deacon Harold Birxlivers is our guest. We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Deepen your connection to the Church's holy days and seasons while you draw on the wisdom of the Church Fathers. Feasts of Our Fathers, the new book from Mike Aquilina and Adam Lucas, is a treasury of history, prayers, insights, and lessons that will bring you closer to the earliest of Catholic traditions. Take your prayer life and your solidarity with the Church, past and present, to a new level. Order your copy of Feasts of Our Fathers today at shop.catholic.com.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Give us your best clean joke. That's tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on most of these EWTN stations. And now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Deacon Harold Birxlivers is our guest. The Beacon of Truth is his show, not the Deacon of Truth, Beacon of Truth on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Check it out each weekday. Tell me, I have to give the East Coast time and I can't do it. What time is it on the East Coast, Deacon?
That'd be 4 to 5 p.m.
4 to 5 p.m. on the East Coast. Okay. Oh, yeah, that makes sense because we come on at, wait, what do we come on, 6? Oh, yeah. I mean, I know what time it is here. I just I forgot what time it is on the East Coast. Check it out. You will not be sorry that you did. Or you can call and talk with Deacon Harold right here. We're talking about marriage, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. There's television shows, like whole television series on just people picking out their wedding dress. I mean, there's every kind of television show about marriage. And it's obvious that people want it, you know, with it all, in an almost desperate way. We want that. Whatever else we might give lip service to, people clearly, there's a fascination with and a desire for lasting marriage. And yet, we're worse at it than any society in the history of the world. We are the number one worst, and I just mean the modern world, not the United States, but we're worse at marriage than anybody in history. So what's going wrong, and how can we get lasting marriages, Deacon?
Well, the problem is when you mention those shows, Cy, there it talks about the superficiality of the accoutrement that surround marriage, the dress, the cake, the venue. Right. And those are what's being emphasized in the culture. What's not being emphasized is how are we going to stay together for the rest of our lives?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's what the church is interested in. We're not interested in making people look good for pictures. The church is interested in helping people to discern, is God calling them to this vocation and to prepare them for a lifetime together? Right. That's what the church is doing in preparing people for marriage. And quite frankly, we could be doing a better job of that. Again, when I mentioned that the sacrament of matrimony is in the catechism is grouped with the sacrament of holy orders under the service of communion. Think about it. A priest spends 7 years, maybe 8 years studying to be a priest. And what do we spend? A weekend? Maybe a couple weeks, you know, and in a lot of cases for marriage preparation. You know, some parishes have an extensive program. Thanks be to God. We need more of that. But for the most part, you know, we don't do a good job preparing these people for a lifetime together. And we need to do a much better job of that, especially in the midst of this culture today, which is so superficial and so material when it comes to what marriage is.
888-318-7884, the number here. I get what you're saying about the superficial, but there's also this other thing about, I think we've accepted, you know, what used to be called shacking up, because that was a derisive term. Now you're somehow offending people if you say that. But I mean, sometimes maybe you got to say things that are a little bit offensive. We've accepted a culture of, I don't know. I think we've just given up, in many ways, accepted the terms of sexuality that were proposed in the 1960s rather than the ones that were proposed by Jesus. And so people are older and older when they get married. I don't think that that marrying older is actually a recipe for success for marriage. I think you get more set in your ways. It's harder to adjust. If you're 25, you're much more psychologically pliable than you are at 35. That's just the case. I don't know. I guess my question is about this. There is this kind of shallowness that's being proposed, but there's also a kind of I don't know, spoiledness or something, that we all have too much. We have too many choices, too many options. We put it off too long. We put off settling down too long.
Yeah, you make a good point, because in the discernment for a religious vocation, for religious life, many monastic communities or communities of nuns have that same criteria. You know, there's a certain cutoff age before you can begin the process of discerning a vocation, precisely because of the reasons that you gave. You're much more pliable, right, when you're younger than when you're more set in your ways when you get older. So it's harder to form you in a vocation when you're older and more set in your ways. You see, and I think the same thing applies to what you're saying in marriage. And there is a reluctance, a reticence, you know, to put things off until later. You know, my career, I want to focus on my career. Why? Because I want to make sure that when I do get married, that I'm set. Well, right. So let me focus on my career. Let me focus on this piece. And when I meet, you know, that special one, you know, then we can discern. But in the meantime, I'll build up all this stuff. The thing is, you can't take it with you. What you should be building up is character. What you should be building up is virtue, right? Those are the things that we should be building up, and not worrying about the other material things of the world. Because ultimately, that doesn't matter. I mean, if I were to go bankrupt for whatever reason, you know, and my wife and I became homeless, we'd still be married and we'd still be in love, and Jesus Christ would still be the heart and center of our life, despite what was going on materially around us, you know. And those are the things that we need to focus, not prenuptial agreements, not making sure that, you know, she has the right gene structure or whatever, that she'll look really good in a dress, that my friends like her. You know, we should be asking those 30,000 foot view questions. Has my relationship with him or her brought me closer to God? You know, can I really see myself spending a lifetime with this person? Would I like my future children to grow up to be just like him or her? You know, am I truly dating this person to discern marriage? Do my parents approve of him? Is pornography an issue? I mean, you know, has the person had an abortion or was there abuse in their past? These are the things that need to be teased out over the years of getting to know each other in that relationship. They need to be talked about, discussed, and flushed out. And that takes time. And the earlier you do that, I think the stronger your marriage is going to be.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. In a certain sense, I guess, from say I'm a 19, 20, 21-year-old person, I probably should be thinking, look, marriage is a thing for the next 5 or 10 years of my life. Try not to think of it as 15 years away or 20 years away. Like as you reach young adulthood, this should be an important consideration. So you're saying, well, who am I then? So focus on who you are. Are you developing the virtues that will make you a good husband or wife and stable in marriage and able to maintain marriage?
Yeah, let me tell you why that's important, Cy. You know, I'm not a marriage counselor, right? That's not me at all, okay? Mm-hmm. But what I do is I do triage. So, for example, in the parish, I have a couple that have come to me that's struggling with something in their marriage, and I'll do triage. I'll listen to them. I'll hear about what the issues are, maybe help them to sort them out, give them some things to think and pray about together. But if there's deeper issues or they want a longer kind of discussion or relationship, then I send them to a counselor. And one time I was doing triage with a couple, and the woman said, you know, when they were talking about the personality differences and things, she said, I wish I would have known myself better before I got married. And I thought, wow, what an insight that is. I wish I knew myself better. Because probably what she was doing, she was ignoring those parts of herself and those needs within herself to make him happy, you know? And, yes. And so she goes, I wish I would have known myself better. So that's why I'm saying emphasizing virtue, emphasizing character, getting to know who I am as a person. What do I really need? What do I really want out of life in a relationship? What does that look like to really think and discern that, you know, with the Lord, particularly for me, of course, in adoration, but to really think deeply and just to get to really know yourself well. Because then when you meet someone, you don't have to acquiesce. You don't have to give up that part of yourself. You show them that part of yourself and see, can this person accept me for the person that God created me to be?
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. Sam in Canada, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Thank you very much for having me. So I come from a very religious family, but also a family that is very steeped in tradition. It is a West African cultural tradition. And my fiancée is from a different culture. We both have grown up in Canada, and we're both very fairly strong Catholics, I would say. We've been friends for more than a decade, and we have discerned being married. But my family would like to follow more of our traditional West African heritage and do certain things which they're not necessarily at odds, but it's if I were to follow everything, it kind of would put, it would delay marriage kind of beyond what in my mind would be a reasonable time, maybe even more than 5 years from right now.
Oh, wow. You feel you and your fiancé are ready for marriage. Your family wants traditional things to happen that would take maybe up to 5 years. And so you want to know from Deacon Harold how to deal with that situation?
How to navigate it, but also,
okay.
Yes, exactly. Like
okay.
How to navigate and how to get to that kind of family harmony. I know it's
okay, how can we navigate this and but do so in a harmonious way, Deacon?
Yeah, that's a great question. And first and foremost, you said you and your fiance are devout Catholics. So the you got to get married in the Catholic Church, okay? So now there's some things you can do during the matrimonial liturgy, right? Because obviously you're both Catholics, you're going to have a mass during the wedding. Okay, so you can, for example, instead of a tux, you can wear maybe a traditional African, like a formal traditional African garb. So, for example, in the Philippines, a man would wear something called a barong. So it's not a tuxedo; it's a barong. It's a traditional formal dress for men in the Philippines. And I've been to a number of Filipino weddings. Where parishioners of mine, because a number of parishioners in our parish are Filipino, at their weddings, the man wears a traditional barong. And there are certain things that, you know, traditional like that, that can be woven into the Catholic mass. So there's some things that you can consider there. But if they want something traditional, the first and foremost thing is that you get married in the Catholic Church according to the Catholic rite of matrimony. That's critical and essential. Now, if they want to do something afterward that's more traditional, that's fine because you'll already be married. You'll be legally married. You'll be married and established a covenant within the eyes of the church. If they want to do something later on, that's fine. But that's the one thing. That's the first thing I would say. The second is just remember what the scripture says in Genesis chapter 2. Therefore, a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh, right? So the most important relationship in your life, next to your relationship with God, is a relationship with your spouse, even more important than your relationship with your kids, right? Because you're not standing at the altar making a covenant relationship before God with your children. You're doing it with your spouse. She is the most important person in your life. God first in relationship with Jesus, and then her second, period. You know, so you're not ignoring your parents or do not appreciate everything they've done for you, but when it comes to matrimony, she is the most important, more than your parents, more than your children, is your wife. So if you guys make a decision that we want to get married in the church, this is the way we want to do it, then your parents have to respect that. They can do the traditional thing later. You're not saying that you don't want to do it, right? We have to get married in the church first, and then we'll look at the other things later. That makes sense?
Sam, does that make sense to you?
It certainly makes sense. It makes sense.
Very good.
I really appreciate that. It's comforting to hear.
Oh, I'm glad, Sam. Sam, I got to take a break. I went a little late on that, but I'm very glad. Thank you very much. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with more on marriage with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God. that retreat absolutely lit me on fire. Your talks and the spiritual counseling, I just want to learn so much about it. And as a parent of three boys, what can I research to continue that fire to impart that on my boys?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest. Beacon of Truth is his program each afternoon on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And we're talking marriage today. 888-318-7884 is the number. Deacon Harold just celebrated his 30th wedding anniversary. Let me just ask you a question. I think I know the answer to this, but I don't know if I know the answer to it. When you began marriage, did you anticipate how much suffering would be part of the marriage? And I'm not saying that to insult your marriage or your wife or anything.
No,
I just, did you know how much suffering would be part of it?
No. Marriage is the hardest thing I've ever done. Mm-hmm. I mean, really. I mean, it's beautiful. It really is. But it's hard. And anything that's hard, it's going to take work, right, in order for it to really bring fruit in your life. You know, if you're an athlete, we just had the Olympics. The athlete preparing for the Olympics, they work so hard. They sacrifice so hard for years for a piece of gold to be hung around their neck, you know?
Yeah.
But in marriage, you have to work really hard. But what's the goal? Heaven. So much more than anything that this world can give. But it's hard to get there because you're dealing with two people. You're bringing in your own baggage bringing your own baggage into the marriage. You have two different personality types. You know, you have a man and a woman. You have all these different factors, but yet the grace of God in that sacrament helps you to work. But you have to die. That's the key. You have to die to yourself. I had to learn that. I had to die to myself, my pride, my ego, always thinking that I'm right. You know, for her. You know, I have to die to that within myself. And that took a number of years to be able to figure that out. The small stuff, you know, no big deal. The big scheme of things, because what would life be like if she wasn't here?
Mm, right.
And here's the key for me. Why do we wait till someone gets sick or almost dies before we tell them how we truly feel about them? Right. So my philosophy is, why don't I treat my wife as if she had cancer every day? Not wait until something happens. I can't imagine my life. Why don't I think that? That's the approach that I have in my marriage now after 30 years.
What a beautiful, just beautiful thought. I do think it's not a suffering that. Like you just suffer and then you die. It's also this gift that's constantly giving to you, marriage. But I worry so much about young people who have been told this lie that if you don't feel love, then that's the time to go. It's utter disaster. You're missing out on the very best part of marriage, which is doing it together, finding out how to do it together. Let's go to Catholic.
And let's be real.
Go ahead.
But there's days you're not going to want to be married. There's days you wake up going, what did I do this for? What was I thinking? I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
There's going to be days like that where you're going to be angry, you're going to be upset, or there's something going on with one of the kids, or, you know, your mom's living with you for a while, and then it causes some crazy tension. I mean, those things are happen, but God will give you the grace to get through the most difficult times and the toughest challenges.
I've probably said this to you before, but we used to have a wonderful chaplain here, Father Hugh Barber, and he used to say in talking about marriage, and he was wonderful talking about marriage, sometimes you just have a bad decade. And I think that's a wonderful way to think about it. Like, okay, like lighten up. Sometimes you just have a bad decade. Catherine in South Carolina, thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Catherine, with your question for Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Well, mine was more of a comment. So okay. I've been on a long commute, and I heard, I think it was Christina, the first caller from North Dakota. And she was saying about her 20-year-old son that just can't really ask people out.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's still listening. But it's one thing that wasn't really mentioned is that, like, this kid, he went to high school during the pandemic. I'm a lot older than him. I'm 32. But I'm also unmarried. During that time, you know, my dating life completely, it wasn't very good to begin with. And then it completely stopped. I had an even extended time because before that happened, my mom had cancer and my dad was in hospice, so I was taking care of them. So I had several years there where I wasn't able to really date people. My dad died. It was like a week before lockdown. But so she has this son, and he can't really date people. And then they're in North Dakota. I've never been to North Dakota, but where I live, it's very rural, and North Dakota is, I believe, more rural. So there's not going to be really this large dating pool. And then I don't know the Catholic population, but around here we say flirt to convert because almost everybody I know that's around my age or a little bit younger, like 20s, that's Catholic, they've married somebody that wasn't Catholic, and they either are dating or married to someone that's not Catholic, or that person has since come into the church. Like my brother and my sister-in-law, she's probably going to convert in the next year or two, but they have a baby, she's not Catholic. And then like Henry, who's married, he's a bit younger than me, his wife isn't Catholic. And then
Catherine, I feel like we're getting the point, and it does feel like the point is there are really heavy practical considerations. And sometimes we do solve theoretical problems and ignore the practical considerations, Deacon.
No, Catherine makes a excellent point. Again, because I've been married for 30 years, I don't think about this, the dating scene a lot. But she's right. During the pandemic, think about it. We were isolated, we were masked, and a situation that was already bad to begin with, the problem of meeting people was exacerbated by the pandemic, which made things worse. So this young man now coming out of the pandemic, is really struggling to find those social skills to connect with people. So yeah, Catherine makes a very, very good point about that. So and what I love about coming out of the pandemic and speaking at the events like the Midwest Catholic Family Conference or this marriage retreat I just did in Houston or Fullness of Truth or the Eucharistic Congress, that people are getting together again. We're coming back together again because the church is incarnational. Mm-hmm. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word that become flesh, have a Zoom meeting, right? So we need to come back together as the people of God and get to interact with each other again. And right, being in North Dakota or where Catherine lives in rural Carolinas, it makes it even more difficult. But I think the Lord provides for his church. He provides for our needs. And we just have to get creative on how we do that.
Catherine, thank you. I appreciate that. I always appreciate when we address the practical, because I think that's very Catholic way of looking at things. That the Catholic Church is not just all about pie in the sky. The practical considerations matter. And you see that reflected in the teaching of the church. Let's go to John in Ohio. John, you're going to have to be... Oh, no. You can't be quick, John. You're not there. Let's go to Joseph in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria. Joseph, now you're going to have to be real quick if we want to get an answer from Deacon.
Okay, guys. Yeah, I've never been married, although came close to it 40 years ago or so. But because of a severe porn addiction, I was away from the church for a number of years, a loner. Now God knocked me off that perverted horse.
Praise God.
I've come back to the church, and I want to devote my life to Christ. I want to, marry I want to marry Jesus. And I had a little bit of a contention with the deacon saying that those of us that are older and set in our ways would have a harder time conforming to a religious order. But I think I could be willing to bend my ways to whichever, you know, so I would conform with them. Of course, they have to be able to accept me. You know,
Deacon, yes. I'm sorry, the music's playing, Joseph. What a beautiful testimony.
So just real quick, it wasn't me. It's the religious communities, the religious orders that have these restrictions about age requirements for joining the community. But I'm sure that they will also make exceptions as well. For somebody that shows a level of spiritual maturity that they're looking for.
And praise God about overcoming the porn addiction. Anybody who is caught in that, God loves you and will help you out of it. And praise God that that happened in Joseph's life. Deacon, I'm sorry to rush you, but may we have your blessing before we go.
May Almighty God bless you and protect you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, our guest. Check him out every afternoon on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, or go hear him speak. It'll be one of the great experiences of your life. That'll do it for us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.